among the nations and princes among the provinces. How has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction, because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are like the chief. Her enemies prosper. The Lord hath afflicted her. The multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. From the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture. They are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction, and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. None did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock her at her Sabbath. Jerusalem had grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray once again that you'll bless us during this time. I pray that you'll teach us as we look into the Word of God. Teach us the things from this book, the Book of Lamentations. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we are studying through the books of the Bible. We've gone through several of the books. We've gone through all of the historical books in the Old Testament. We've gone through all the poetical books of the Old Testament. And those that are grouped together as the poetical books. By the way, the Book of Lamentations is also a book of poetry, but it's not grouped with the poetical books. It's actually grouped with the prophetical books. And it's grouped in the prophetical books. It can be divided up into two different sections. The first section of five books, the major prophets. The last 12 books, the minor prophets. We've studied two of the major prophets thus far. We've studied the prophet Isaiah. By the way, the major prophets are called major prophets because of the length of their message, not because of the importance of their message. And Isaiah was the first of those that we studied. We've studied the themes of each of the books. And the theme of the book of Isaiah is God's response to what? Sin. Say it with me. God's response to sin. We've seen that God hates sin, but yet God, because of his mercy, we see in Isaiah chapter 53 or in the last part of the book of Isaiah, that God has something that he has given to the sinner, and that is his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. And then in the book of Jeremiah, we see a sad story. Isaiah prophesied during the time that Israel fell. Isaiah was prophesying to the southern kingdom of Judah at the time that the northern kingdom, Israel, fell into Assyrian captivity. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He prophesied at a time when the children of Israel, right at the very end, the people of Judah, at the end of their years and years of turning from the Lord and turning to idolatry, he prophesied at the time when Jerusalem fell and when Judah fell to Babylon. So he was the prophet that prophesied at the time when he saw his people carried off into captivity, and he was preaching at the time when judgment fell upon Israel or upon Judah. And so Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. He prophesied against sin and the coming destruction of Israel if they did not turn back to God. And we see that backsliding results in what? Judgment. Say it with me. Backsliding results in judgment. Say it again. Backsliding results in judgment. You see that throughout the Word of God, and especially in the book of Jeremiah, where we see that God finally says, you've gone too far into your sin, and now I must bring judgment upon the house of God. I must bring judgment upon the children of Israel there in Judah. The third book that we'll want to study in the prophetical books is the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations was also written by Jeremiah. Lamentations was written after Judah had fallen. Remember now, there was the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel had already fallen 100 years before. They had fallen to Assyria. Assyria had fallen to Babylon. Babylon was now the world power, and Babylon had come down upon Judah and had besieged the city of Jerusalem, had besieged the land of Judah, and was going to carry off into captivity those people that lived there in Israel. And so we see now that Jeremiah has prophesied up to the time that Israel falls. Now we can read what Jeremiah has said after he has already seen Israel fall, after he's already seen Jerusalem destroyed, after he's already seen the people carried out of the land, and now we see Lamentations. We actually could say that the book of Lamentations is actually five funeral poems. There are five poems showing the destruction of Jerusalem and the carrying away and overthrow of Judah and the carrying away of the people off into captivity. So there are poems. Truth of the matter is, actually, there's each, if you look at each chapter has 22 verses. They're also kind of alliterated, I guess. Each of the verses in each chapter begins with, the first verse begins with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The second verse begins with the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of the chapters goes like that with 22 verses. For the third chapter has 66 verses, which has triplets. The first three verses begin with the first letter of the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the second three start with the second letter, etc. And so it's a poetical book, and written, of course, by God, by the pen of Jeremiah, after Israel has fallen. And so we see the book of Lamentations written by Jeremiah after the fall of Judah to Babylon. Lamentations is the book of five poems mourning the destruction of Jerusalem. If you remember, recall with me, the main message of Jeremiah was this. Jeremiah preached against the sin of the people. And he preached and preached and preached and preached and preached against the sin of the people there in Judah. Yet they would not receive his message. They rejected the message that he had preached. And he said, if you reject or continue to reject this message, judgment will come. Now, it's hard to see judgment coming when times are going good, isn't it? It's hard to understand that judgment does come when folks have gone into sin and judgment hasn't come yet. So, well, it hasn't come yet. Maybe I've got some more time yet, and maybe even judgment will not come. Truth of the matter is, judgment always will come upon sin. A sinner can live in sin for a while, but judgment will come. Truth of the matter is, judgment does not have to come right now. You recall the story of the farmer. He was talking to the preacher, and he said to the preacher, I don't believe you have to serve God to get blessed. I went out and I dug up my garden on Sunday. And I went out and I planted my garden on Sunday. And I went out and I pulled the weeds on Sunday. And I went out and I watered on Sunday. And I went out and I fertilized my garden on Sunday. And I took care of my garden on Sunday. And when harvest came, he said, I had the best crop that I've ever had. The preacher very wisely said, that's fine, but God doesn't always pay in October. You may have the best crop living in sin for a while, but judgment doesn't always come in October. But judgment does always come. It took over 200 years before judgment fell upon the land of Israel and the land of Judah. And that's only because there was a few people, every once in a while, they had a king that would stand up and try to bring revival back to the land. God prolonged judgment upon Judah. God didn't wait as long upon Israel because Israel did not turn back to God. By the way, God doesn't have to prolong much longer upon the land of America either, upon the lives of those that live in America. Unless we have some folks that will stand up and say, we're going to live by the principles of the Word of God and live by what God has said and turn this country back to God and the principles that this country was founded upon, God doesn't have to wait much longer for America. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't have to wait much longer upon many of the churches in America. God doesn't have to wait much longer upon many of the families in America. God doesn't have to wait much longer upon many of the individuals that live in America. If there's one country on the face of the earth that ought to turn to the God of heaven, it is this nation right here. What nation under the sun has been blessed like this nation has been blessed? Visibly blessed by the God of heaven. Yet if we don't turn back, we too will see the judgment that Israel got. If God would not spare judgment upon his chosen people, what makes us think that God would spare his judgment upon this land or upon us? If God took the very best, his very best, and chastised them, why wouldn't God chastise us if we turned to sin also? And so we see that Jeremiah's message was a denunciation of Judah's sin, prophesying of the coming overthrow of Jerusalem. Every statement that he had made now, the sad fact that Jeremiah sees a city that is ruined and a temple that is destroyed. And as he views it, his soul is stirred to see the suffering that came as a result of the nation's sin. Here's the theme of the book of Lamentations. It's a long theme, but I couldn't hardly get it any shorter. We ought to realize this. Before I give you a theme, realize this. Lamentations is now a mourning after judgment had come. They had been warned before judgment came, but would not turn from their sin. Now judgment has come, and we see mourning throughout the land, as the people now mourn because of their sin. But it's too late now. Here's the theme of the book. It is better to mourn over sin today than to mourn over judgment tomorrow. It is better to mourn over sin today than to mourn over judgment tomorrow. How many folks have I seen who've lived under the chastening hand of God, and now they want to be used of God when it's too late? How many folks have I seen where they have been warned, they've been in churches, they've heard the preaching of the Word of God, and yet go their own way and live their own lives and go from the preaching of the Word of God to live like they want to live, and then one day judgment falls, and then they mourn, and then they can't figure out why they can't be used like they were? Truth of the matter is, judgment will come upon every person that lives in sin. Judgment will come. But why mourn over judgment one day when it's too late to do anything for God? We ought to mourn over our sin today when we can still be used by the God of heaven to do his work upon this earth. Time after time after time, we see Christians who mourn over the judgment that's come upon their lives instead of mourning over the sin that brought that judgment. We ought to do as Christians, we ought to learn to look at our lives in the good times and say, is there sin in my life? Sure, judgment hasn't come yet, but I ought to live for God anyway. Sure, judgment hasn't fallen upon my life yet, but I ought to get right with God now before judgment comes, before it's too late. How many folks will sit in hell one day, will be there for all of eternity, and will mourn over the judgment of God upon their lives when it's too late to do anything about it? Far better off are we to mourn for our sin before the judgment of God falls than to mourn over our judgment for all of eternity. What we need to do is look at our lives and get the sin out of our lives now and realize that judgment is coming for the sin of the people if we don't get right with God. If there's one thing the book of Lamentations ought to teach us, it is, one day we'll mourn. We're better off mourning now. One day judgment will come. We're better off getting rid of the sin now. One day we'll stand before God. We're better off preparing for it now. Judgment will come, but it's far better to mourn over sin today than to mourn over judgment tomorrow. Let me show you several practical things we can learn from the book of Lamentations. Remember with me, or recall with me, how Jeremiah had preached and preached and preached for years. And not just Jeremiah, but God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to the people of Israel. God had sent Isaiah. God had sent Ezekiel. God had sent Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah. God had sent Jonah and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk. God had sent Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. God had sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and yet the children of Israel continued in their sin. We need to realize, first of all, one lesson we should learn from the book of Lamentations is, it is important to heed the preaching of the man of God. It is important to heed the preaching of the man of God. Look at a parable that Jesus told back in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, look with me at verse 33. Bible says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. When the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruit in their seasons. Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. When the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this these parables, they perceived that he spake of them. When they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. The meaning of this parable is obvious. The householder had a vineyard. He lent that vineyard out, the husbandman. And he sent his servants there. As the servants came, those that took care of the vineyard beat the servants. He sent other servants there. And they took those servants and beat them. He said, what I'll do, I'll be merciful and I'll send my own son. I've sent servants, and they've rejected those servants. I've sent other servants, they've rejected those servants. So what I'll do is I'll send my own son. Certainly, they'll receive him. Certainly, they'll reverence him. He sent his own son, and they took his own son. The owner of that vineyard took his son, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Then he turned to the Pharisees and said, what should that man do? Those that he's lent his vineyard out to. And they said, obviously, what they ought to do is he ought to come by and wipe them all out and give the vineyard to somebody else. What was Jesus speaking of there? He was saying, I've sent my prophets, and I've sent them with the word of God. And they've come, and they've preached the word of God. And you've taken them, and you've killed them, and you've beaten them, and you've rejected them. So I sent others. And they've come with the word of God also. And you rejected their message. And servant after servant after servant, I've sent to you. Time after time, you've rejected the message that I've given you. He said, so what I'll do this time is I'll send my own son. And he sent his own son, and they took that son. They placed a crown of thorn upon his head. They whipped his back with a cat of nine tails until his back was bloody and bruised. Put him upon an old rugged cross. Placed him in the ground, suspended between heaven and earth, killed the Son of God. And yet there are still those that reject the message that God has. How sad it is, those today that reject God's message. Look across the land of America. If there's any place where people have heard and know the message that Jesus died for them, and that Jesus is the way to heaven, it is here in America. But what nation under the sun has turned from the message that God has given any more than this nation right here? So plentiful. And yet we live in such a wishy-washy type of Christianity where we accept sin and accept the ungodliness and just continue on our life thinking we're good Christians. What we have, the truth of the matter is, if anybody dies and goes to hell in America, won't because they didn't know. And it's shocking to find out that there's people in this land in which we live will die and go to a place called hell for all of eternity when we live in a land, if there's any place in the world, that ought to receive the message that God has given to us of his Son. We ought to be in this land. If the people in Fulton, New York die and go to hell, wasn't because God didn't send and raise up a Bible-believing, hellfire and damnation church here in this city. If these people die and go to hell, God's going to say, you had a chance. There was a place right down there, just on the corner of 4th and Walrath Street, and all you had to do was just walk in there one Sunday, and you would have heard the word of God. There has not been a week gone by since I've been here as pastor, for I haven't made the message of God's plan of eternity clear and plain to those that have sat here in my voice. If people die and go to hell in Fulton, New York, it won't be because God in heaven didn't love them. God in heaven didn't send a messenger. says God loves you. Jesus died for you. If you receive his gift of eternal life, you can go to heaven. What easier could it, what else could God do? But give us his word written down for us. What else could he do but send his man to come and preach the word of God? What else can he do but send his only begotten son to die on the cross for us? What else could he do? We sit around and complain and say, look at the way the world is. Well, bless God. What do you want God to do? Come over with a hammer, beat you over the head, and someday he will. Won't you just receive his message now? And how sad it is for those that have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, have been born into the family of God, and yet reject the message that God has given to us. How sad it is for those that are saved and call themselves Christians, and yet will not receive the message of the man of God. That God has given us across this land, the word of God that God has given to us to read and to learn and to live by and to obey. How sad it is we see Christians that hear the preaching of the word of God, and yet go off into their sin. When judgment comes, it won't be because you didn't know. When judgment falls upon Christians, it won't be because they didn't know what God has said. God has given this book to us. And there's no nation on the face of the earth where this book right here is more plentiful. Right here in this land. When judgment falls upon those that continue in their sin, it won't be because they didn't have a way to know God's plan for their life. We need to learn. We need to accept the preaching. Heed the preaching of the man of God. The people rejected Isaiah. They mocked Ezekiel. They threw Jeremiah in prison. Rejected the message of Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. They crucified Philip. They stoned Stephen. Beheaded James. They stoned and beheaded Matthias. Crucified Peter and Andrew, dragged Mark to death, beheaded Paul, and crucified Christ. What more does God have to do to get his message across? Turn to Jesus, trust him, and live his way according to his word. It's important to heed the preaching of the man of God. Secondly, look at Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 7. Lamentation chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. None did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Notice the words, Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction that she had in the days of old, miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old. Second thing we can see in the book of Lamentation, sadness comes when remembering the better days there were before judgment came. Sadness comes when remembering the better days there were before judgment came. Talked to a man just yesterday, fallen out of church and gotten away from the Lord. I said, weren't you happy serving the Lord? He said, yes, I was. Why don't you just give back serve the Lord again? I don't think I've ever talked to a person that served the Lord, that has gotten away from serving the Lord, that wasn't happier when they served the Lord. So easy for us to complain about the little things that come along, this problem here, that problem there, and bellyache to God and complain about this and complain about that. Truth of the matter. So, well, the Christian life's so hard. I'll tell you, it's 10 times easier than living the life of Satan. 10 times easier. I'd far rather have the hardships of living like a Christian than the judgment of living like the unsaved. Weren't you happier serving the Lord? Yes, I was. Then why don't you just get back to serving the Lord? Why stay away? Why stray away from him? Won't you get back to serving? We need to do is realize we can look back on our life someday and we can remember the good old days. Preacher, remember a lot of good blessings from the past. Won't you just go ahead and grab a couple good ones today? Won't you just get back in the battle today? Why live in the blessings that there were last year? Why live in the blessings 5 years ago? Won't you just go ahead and get in the battle and grab a few for today? What we need to do is live every day serving God. We don't have to live one day and say, preacher, remember what it used to be. Preacher, I remember back in 1987, the people I led to the Lord. That's wonderful. What are you doing today? Preacher, I remember the good old days back in 1985. Boy, I remember the victories we had back in 1985. Won't you grab a couple victories in 1988? Won't you live in God's blessings today instead of remembering the good times that used to be? Won't you get into the good times of serving God today? There's nothing more happy than living in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It may look tough now, servants. A lot tougher not serving. It may look rough now, soul winner. A lot rougher one day looking back and saying, remember when I used to. Might be tough right now, bus worker. But a lot tougher one day looking back and saying, remember when I used to. Might be tough now, Christian. Be a lot tougher one day when you look back and say, what could have been had I kept serving the Lord? Sadness comes when remembering the better days there were before judgment came. Many Christians live with regrets of not doing what they could have done. Let's live today so we'll have no regrets tomorrow. What could have been accomplished for the Lord today. One of the sad things of a life of sin, it's a remembrance of better days when people walk with God. There's nothing that'll jog your memory any better with any more fondness than the days when you walked with God. Walk with God today. Walk with God tomorrow. Walk with God the next day. You keep serving God today and don't live in the days when you walked with God in the past. And you mourn over the judgment that's come because you got out of the service of the King. Number 3, look at chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. Look also in chapter 1, verse 21. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 11. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled, my liver is poured upon the earth, for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the suckling swim in the streets of the city. Notice when Jeremiah looked over the city, looked at what had happened, he mourned for the destruction of the city. Jeremiah didn't come to the people and said, now look what you've done. Now you've messed up your lives. Now it's all over with. Look what you've done. No, he sat down and wept. By the way, when I got done talking with that man, I came down here to this altar, and I wept. I don't walk away from somebody telling them you ought to serve God and laugh about it. I don't walk away from this pulpit and laugh about it because of the people that have gone into sin. If you knew the number of tears I've shed, the people I've had to talk to, heard the message of God, and I've said, if you'll just do this, you'll be happier. Just do it. Be happier. You'll just enjoy it more. Just serve the Lord. And yet those that think they've got a better way than what God has said. I don't walk away from a fellow who I've said, who's left the church and said, won't you come back to God? And walk away laughing. Jeremiah didn't either. Jeremiah wept as he looked at the land. We should not rejoice when sin is punished in the lives of others. Go ahead and preach against sin and preach hard against it. And tell others, look out, if you don't watch out, judgment's coming, your life's going to be ruined. When judgment comes, don't shake your finger in their face and say, see, I told you so. When judgment comes upon those that have turned to their life of sin and turned from the ways of God,
Don't say, look what you've done now. You've messed up your life. Why don't you just get right with God?
The truth of the matter is, we ought to get right with God. We ought to live for God. But don't you rejoice just because somebody else fell into sin.
Yeah, that's what you deserved. You deserve falling into sin. You deserve the judgment of God.
We ought to weep and cry over our nation for those that have fallen into sin. We ought to weep and cry over this nation for those that have turned from God and turned their own way. And not say, see, I told you so. Weep because they haven't listened to the message that God has given to us. We should not rejoice when sin is punished in the lives of others. Jeremiah was heartbroken when his prophecies came true. A lot of times we see those preach against hell and laugh at those that are going there. Well, I'm going to preach against hell, but I'll never laugh when somebody goes there.
Well, he deserved that.
We all deserve it. There's not a person sitting here today that doesn't deserve to be in hell for all of eternity. And only by the grace of God that we're going to heaven. And we better thank God for his grace and his mercy to us and not laugh at those who've gone into sin.
Well, so much for them. I tried to tell them.
No, you walk away weeping because you tried to tell them. We need to keep getting the message out, keep loving them, and keep trying to get them to turn to God and keep trying to get them to serve God. I've never gotten used to people slamming the door in my face. I've had doors slammed in my face just about every week that I've lived in Fulton. Didn't get them when I was little. But almost every week since I've been soul winning, I've gotten doors slammed in my face. And it doesn't get any easier. And the ones that slam their door in my face next week won't be any easier than the first ones I got slammed in my face. Preacher, don't you get used to it? No, we'll get used to it. Keep going in. Keep trying to get them saved. Keep weeping over those. The truth of the matter is, the most burden I've ever had over people is for those that have rejected the gospel. That's the biggest burden I've ever had. When I walked away from a house and somebody wouldn't listen to the message that God has for me. I'll never understand it. I'll never get over it. We ought not rejoice when sin is punished in the lives of others. Look at Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22. The Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord is my portion, witness saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Notice, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Even in suffering, the Lord is merciful. Realize this. God still loved Israel when they're carried off into Assyria. God still loved Judah when they're carried off into Babylon. God still loves the sinner when judgment comes upon them. God is still merciful. God still loves us. God must judge sin, but he doesn't forget those who have been judged. God has to, because of his righteousness and holiness, must judge the sin of his people. But God still loves the sinner who's been judged. Great are his mercies. And finally, one warning. When a sinner is judged, he cannot return to his former usefulness. Remember this, Christian. You can live in sin. When judgment comes, it'll be too late to go back to the same usefulness you had before. Don't sit one day looking back and saying, look what could have been done. Look at Israel. God still loved Israel. When Israel turned back to Kadesh Barnea, God still loved them. Matter of fact, God fed them. God gave them manna. God kept their clothes from wearing out. God took care of them. But they never went into the promised land. God loved them. God took care of them. But they could never be what they could have been. How they just believed God and went on in. Look at Gideon. Look at what could have been. And look what happened to Gideon after his sin. Look at Samson. Look at the usefulness before. Look at Samson after. You go through the Bible. Check it out. Look at Israel. Israel has never been what they were before they rejected Jesus. Never have. Israel is not today what they were before they rejected Christ. Israel is not today what they were before they turned to other gods. What's Israel a type of? It's a type of us. It's a type of the Christian. Christian, you can go ahead and go into sin, and you won't be used one day like you can be used right now after judgment comes. You can be used of God even during your sin, but you can't after judgment comes. You better realize, get right with the Lord. Mourn over sin now, instead of when judgment comes one day, mourning over what could have been before judgment came. God's warning is to the Christian that can still be used of God in the great capacity and the perfect will of God. By the way, realize this also. If you ever come to the place in your life where judgment comes, just pick up and do what you can do. God can still use you. God can still use you if He can just use you just to warn others and just to show others, look, don't go the same route I've gone. God can use you if all it is just to mourn with others that have gone into judgment. God can use you. If just to be an encouragement to others and say, look, God still loves you, and just do what you can do. God can use anybody. But there are certain folks that God can use more than God can use others. It depends upon our availability to Him and keeping away from sin. You stay away from sin. Sin will destroy you. It'll ruin you. It'll take away your usefulness. And you'll never be what you could have been before the sin came, before the judgment came. When judgment fell, God still watched over them. God took care of those that were off in Babylon. God took care of them there. God still loved them. God still fed them. God still gave them air to breathe. But they never were again what they could have been. They never were again what they were before the judgment came. Keep serving God no matter what. But before judgment comes, mourn over your sin. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us so much that you've given us warning after warning after warning after warning in the Word of God. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. And I pray that you'll help every person to realize it's better to mourn over sin today than to mourn over judgment tomorrow. Help us to give all we've got today and live for you today before it's too late. We pray in Jesus' name.